The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here today with my husband, co-host, fellow realtor, partner, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Not bad.
All right. You ready to talk?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
You're not going to want to hear what I have to say, though, but that's okay.
Well,
it's just like at home.
I may have to cut you off. For the second week in a row, we have Barb Moody, sales manager with Prospect Mortgage Company. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jackie. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming back. Fitting us in your busy schedule. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We answer many real estate questions. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where you can also listen to all our archive radio shows. And if you have a smartphone, we are mobile friendly. Our website, jruddy.com, you can see the listings on your mobile phone without having to increase or decrease the fonts, right?
Very nice. It works good.
Okay. Barb Moody, Prospect Mortgage, your sales manager. How long have you been doing mortgages?
I've been doing mortgages 17, almost 18 years, Jackie. I love it.
And you are based in Clark Summit, but many people that come to you are from all different areas, right? Northeast Pennsylvania, pretty much?
Right, right. We are licensed throughout the whole entire state of Pennsylvania. So we can do a loan anywhere for anyone in the state of Pennsylvania. We work in Lackawanna County, Luzerne County, Bradford County, Monroe County. So we are excited, and you can reach out to us on your PA mortgage team. That's Y-O-U-R PA mortgage team. That is on Facebook, and that is also our website, www.yourpamortgageteam.com. And our local line, if anyone has any questions about today's show, is 570-587-3385, or any questions in mortgages in general.
Thank you. Now, you've been doing it for a long time, and I'm sure you've seen it all. I just recently pulled off the internet. Nearly 90% of Americans value home ownership, and I'm sure you agree with that statement. The vast majority of Americans think home ownership is important, and it is part of the American dream. At the same time, 40% of the respondents say they feel less prepared to buy a home than they were 5 years ago. What do you think the reason might be?
Well, our show today is on credit. I think credit has a lot to do with the new American population that is starting to want to be first-time homebuyers. I think unawareness is a problem, so I'm excited to come on and talk about credit and some of the things that I've seen. I'm obviously not a credit counselor or an expert, but I've seen a lot through my years. So I am basically going to hopefully go over some of that. I also think the economy in general in the last few years has had a little bit to do, you know, with people losing jobs and having issues. Again, that could affect credit as well. So a lot of people are kind of coming back now. But it's good to see that statistic, because it's great to know that a lot of people are still considering it. It's still in the back of their mind, and they're willing to do what it takes to get to that dream.
So, you know, people come to you. I think someone that looking to purchase a home should go to a lender first. I think that's absolutely the first step necessary in determining many things, whether they can buy a house now or in the future, or how much they can afford, their monthly payment, and what type of house they would be looking for in terms of list price. So going to someone like you first is essential in determining things that everybody needs to know. Them, you, me,
Absolutely, Jackie. That is, it's huge. What we do when someone comes to, you know, a mortgage, comes in for a pre-approval for a mortgage, is going to be a very great fact-finding event for them as well. A lot of people will think, hey, I can afford a $200,000 house, but forget that there's taxes and insurances. There's a lot of misunderstandings where if they come in to do the pre-approval for the mortgage first, they're going to have an understanding of the whole picture, what we're looking for, how to get there, you know, what the payments are going to be. They leave with estimates. They leave with great ideas. And the best part is we're able to look at our business partners that we work with in the local areas, the realtors, business partners, and just say, this is their maximum amount. Please find them a house for this amount or less, and we'll be able to do a mortgage for them. I think it's the very most important thing that a buyer can do to get themselves ready for that dream of home ownership.
1 in 4 surveyed said they have no familiarity with the mortgage products available. So I think it's scary to people. It's a big step, and I think, you know, that part of that reluctance to find out certain things maybe have to do with, gee, I don't know what my credit is. So should people be going on the internet and these free credit reports that they can pull off the internet, should they be doing that every year?
Well, there's the free credit reports are great. If someone is looking to buy a house tomorrow, they should talk to a lender because that's going to give you the whole gamut of what we have available. And we can go over that a little bit more. As far as the free credit reports, one of my favorite websites has been annualcreditreport.com. Annual is in the year, A-N-N-U-A-L. There's also freecreditreport.com. There's a bunch of credit report agencies that are out there that once a year you can go in and you can look at your credit from all three credit bureaus, which is very important because you want to make sure you have all three, which is TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and you want to see what's on all three of them. Because a hiccup when lenders are looking at your credit report, when you go at the final hour and you're looking at what your score is, it's going to be the middle score of those three. So you need to make sure that all three of those credit bureaus have the right information, there's nothing incorrect, that if things have been paid, they're marked paid. For instance, Jackie, what we see a lot, just to give an example, is a lot of people will have a past collection, maybe a medical, maybe a school bill, maybe they didn't pay a credit card at a younger time, and they think that it's been paid, and they might have actually paid it, but the creditor themselves did not actually take the extra step or the time to go in and mark it paid. So it's still sitting on their credit report unpaid. If you're looking at your credit report yearly, you can go back to those credit bureaus and you can dispute that up front and have that removed if it was paid. So you're making sure that you have a fresh, clean look when you do go to a lender, whether it be for a mortgage or a car or just for your own personal knowledge, to know that your credit report's okay. On another flip side to that, what we've seen a lot lately in years has been identity theft. So I'm sure everybody has known someone that has had an identity theft or someone that has had a credit card stolen or someone tried to buy a camera in Spain and send it to New York. We've seen it all. Where looking at your credit report once a year is, if anything like that should take place or happen or there's something incorrect, it's better to catch that up front in a time frame where you can argue the point that you did not do that, that that is not your debt or that there might be a mistake.
How long does it take for someone, if they catch something like that on their report, how long does it take to get that straightened out?
That really matters on how bad it is. And that's why we say catching it up front is huge. I had someone personally buy a camera in Spain and have it sent to a post office box in New York City. I called my credit card company immediately. They removed the charge. They removed the collection. I've had other people have identity theft, which has been thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, that had to actually go to the police station and have the police start looking into, you know, who the perpetrator was and what the reasons were. But catching something like that up front and knowing about it is going to be huge.
I tell people that's the first thing you got to do. You got to get pre-qualified. You got to find out how much house you can afford, you know, find out if there's any problems on that. We went for my credit check and my dad's Sears bill from 1965 is on my credit report. It's all paid for and it's fine. I mean, they weren't giving me credit cards when I was 4 years old, but that's the kind of stuff that, now if my dad hadn't paid that bill, it would cause me a world of trouble.
It really does. And checking it once a year, I mean, getting the pre-approval for the mortgage is huge. The credit's first. But checking it once a year for those that aren't ready to take that step is also big. We had a client come in that, unfortunately, a family member had taken the Social Security number and they had $20,000 in debt they weren't aware of. So it's just things like that you need to be aware of up front. You need to make sure that you know what's on your credit report. From there, once you have an idea and you're knowledgeable about it, you feel more comfortable to come to talk to a banker like myself. Hey, I think my credit's good. I want to know what I could afford. And that's where we would actually start the pre-approval process. Our actual office, at Prospect, we don't tell anyone no. And I think, Jackie, you could say from working with me in the past, we will tell you just, hey, this is what's wrong. Here's some ideas. Again, we're not credit experts, but here's some ideas on how we've seen people fix this. Here's some people you might be able to contact to help you. So we try to make sure that a buyer doesn't look at it as a negative impact, but more of a how can we get to the dream ownership 5 years from now?
Okay, so you bring up an excellent point. Is bad credit worse, better, no different than no credit?
That's a great question. It depends on how bad the credit is, Jackie. I hate to say that. No credit, what we call a credit ghost, meaning I come in, you come in and do a mortgage application with me, and you have no credit at all, is often pretty easy to fix. It might take, I always advise people immediately, go out and get two secured credit cards. If you've got no credit score right now, the credit card companies are gonna be very difficult to give you a credit card. If you go in and do a secured credit card, now what my feedback from my clients in the last year have been that most of the credit card companies want a down payment of $300. You would go in, you give them the $300, they give you a credit card for $300, so that money's secured, and then you could start to use that money and pay on it, and they will put that on your credit report. So even though your credit card is backed by the money, you're establishing a credit history for yourself. If someone does that, I have had it happen where they've gone and gotten two, and they've made regular payments for 6 months, and they've gotten a very good credit score from that. So no credit can be easily fixed, but it needs to be fixed because we cannot lend on a no credit score. Bad credit, if you've got one 30-day late, but all the rest of your credit is on time, that might not be bad. If you've had a lot of bad credit in the past that needs to be paid off and then you need to restart, I always advise people you still want to do the secured credit card. And then from there, you want to start paying things off. But while you're doing that, the collections are already there. They've already affected your score poorly. While you're actually, using that secured credit card, you're giving your credit report good points while you're trying to alleviate all the collections or charge-offs or judgments that are on there.
Okay. Very good information, Barb. We're headed towards the break before we go.
Yes, we have a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath home in Troop at 140 Boulevard Avenue for only $79,000. This home has lots of potential and it is priced to sell. It was used as a 2-unit, and if you wanted to use it as a 2-unit, it would have to be verified by the buyer with Troop Borough. This home has a newer roof, new carpeting, and low taxes of only $1,300 a year. It has a garage and a huge fenced-in yard. So if you're looking in Troop for a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath home, give us a call about 140 Boulevard Avenue for only $79,000. And that is listed by Sam Shelter of our office.
CNBC.com had come out with an interesting article saying young people are shunning the suburbs in favor of the hustle and bustle of the city life. And they are leading the charge in the reurbanization of America. And this is told by real estate mogul Sam Zell, who says the end of suburbia is near us. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You can keep the city.
Yes. Well, that's how you feel and that's how I feel. But young people, the last thing young people want to do is live in the suburbs. He claims this demand for the suburban lifestyle had been driven mainly by safety of schools and safety of the neighborhoods. One of the byproducts of people moving to cities is soaring demand for apartments. He is seeing 96% occupancy of the 18,000 units he manages in New York City. And he estimates 45% are occupied by just one person, people who want to live alone. So people are forfeiting space for privacy, going for smaller apartments, less square footage, so they can live alone. So he's predicting it's going to happen in New York City first. What do you think?
I don't know.
All right.
You can keep New York.
No, I think people still want the suburbs. It's time for a short break. We'll be back in a bit with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jruddy.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. You're rejoining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Patrick Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jacqueline.
Good morning. We're here with Barb Moody, sales manager with Prospect Mortgage. Good morning again, Barb.
Oh, good morning, Jackie.
Today, so far, we've been talking about credit and credit scores, how it is very wise for people to monitor their credit and just do it going on the internet, pulling an annual, once a year, credit report and just making sure that everything on there is theirs and it's supposed to be on there, correct?
That's exactly correct. People really need to know. It's so important. Credit is every little part of anything financial you're going to do in life, from cars to insurances to houses. It's really something that people should take the time to monitor.
Where should the score be? What's the magic number?
Well, it really depends on which financial person you're talking to. In mortgage banking, we would like a credit score to be a 640 or above to get any of the better programs, better interest rates. We would also, you know, anything above a 740, Jackie's going to be the very best interest rates. A few years ago, they actually had changed it so that the credit score directly even affects the interest rate of the program. For the first time since I've been in business.
Somebody with a lower credit score is going to be paying a higher interest rate.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
They're a bigger risk, right? So
that's exactly right. They're actually monitoring the risk, and they think that because that's a larger risk, that the interest rate should be increased. So there's a couple different ways of looking at it, but it's nice to tell a good credit score buyer now at 740, hey, you're going to get the very best interest rate we have because you've monitored and taken care of your credit. Other times, people have had credit issues in the past, and it's sad that you can't quite get them the best rate, but that's why we're asking people to go out, monitor it, to check it, to try to do the best you can to keep your eye on it.
What makes up the score?
Well, there's a bunch of different things. It's not as simple. A lot of people think that credit scores are just solely your payment and your payment only. I pay good, I get good credit. I don't pay, I get bad credit. Only 35% from my research, again, not being an expert, but on research I've done, 35% is actually your on-time payments as far as the percentage of good or bad credit you're going to get from those payments. There 30% of what makes up your score is going to be your capacity, which is how much you have on the actual credit card itself. So if your credit card is what we call maxed out, so if you have $500 on a $500 credit card, you're not getting a good positive review of that credit card. You are considered maxed out. Most people want to try to be below 50% of what you can borrow on your actual credit card to keep that score really strong. Length of credit is also in there at 15%. They want to say that length of credit, your history of having each individual card, is going to add positive points to your score. So a lot of times when we're actually talking to people, if they have a zero credit card, they'll think that they need to close that out. That's not the case. We want you to keep that open, even if it's at zero or $50, just so that you can consistently get good positive points for that because your length of time that you've had the card. The accumulation of recent debt, that has a twofold, I don't want to say problem, but the accumulation of debt is really how much debt you're getting into on a time period. So in the last year, if you get into a whole bunch of new debt, that can reflect poorly in your credit score. It's a whole portfolio, so it's hard to figure out the exact amounts. But if you go and get into five new car loans in 1 year, it's obviously going to poorly affect your credit, even if you're making that payment on time. They want to make sure that you're not going to get into too much debt too fast, what would create a risk factor for the next financial institution. So they flag that. And a lot of people don't realize that inquiries on your credit report, looking into, you know, different car loans or different insurance companies or somebody that's going to do what we call hard pulls on your credit report, could greatly reduce your credit score as well.
So what other actions affect credit? Do if you prepay your monthly bill and you pay more than what's required, does that help?
I'm not sure if that helps. I do know that I've had some borrowers have luck with paying 2 to 3 payments in a month's period of time, like a whole payment. So I've had one borrower, Ashley's credit score jumped up 72 points because she made 3 payments. She would pay every Friday. Now, again, I'm not, the whole portfolio makes it very difficult to say how much of that was just because she made extra payments, but because she was making quick payments, it did seem like it really increased her score. Other things that could definitely help as far as, you know, how to improve the credit score is, you know, to continue to make payments on time, slow down on opening new accounts. That's really important, and people just don't realize that. That's back to making the payment on time, and you think that it's going to just continue to increase. If you open a bunch of new accounts, even if that payment's on time, it will affect the score. Moving revolving debt to installment debt. The installment debt also gets higher score, higher points than revolving debt. Revolving debt's the lowest on that totem pole. So if you move some of the revolving debt to installment debt, that can sometimes be helpful as well.
Okay, so someone decides they have 55 credit cards and they want to go down to 20 and they start closing all these credit cards because they think, I don't need it or I shouldn't have it. Is that a good or bad thing?
Well, Jackie, if their credit is very, very, very strong, it's going to affect the credit in such a minute point, but it'll help clean up their credit report. I'm not necessarily a bad advocate to that. However, it definitely can reduce their credit score for a brief period of time, because anytime you're taking away the cards that you have a long history on, it will take away the points to your credit.
When you just mentioned revolving and installment types, what's the difference between revolving credit and installment credit?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The installment credit would be like your fixed credit, like your car loans, your mortgage payments, your unsecured loans at the bank, your personal loans at the bank. They're going to be your student loans. They're installment because they have a fixed, you borrowed $20,000 and you're paying it down each month. Revolving debt are your credit cards. That's the debt that you're going to be able to continue to borrow on. So the installment payments that you're making and you're consistently paying down on something you can't reborrow on, that debt actually gives you more positive points than the revolving debt, which you can then go out and reborrow.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. What doesn't affect the score, the credit score?
People kind of think certain things are going to come onto their credit that don't. Employment, job history does not affect a credit score. Length of time at a certain residence does not. It will be listed on there. So if you're monitoring your credit, you will see all of your residences on there, but it does not affect your score. Your income is not an effect to your score. Your debt ratio is not affect to your score. A lot of people think the debt ratio will also affect the score, and it doesn't.
What's debt ratio?
Debt ratio is going to be what your overall payments are a month in comparison to what your income is. So your credit report is not analyzing your income. So therefore, they don't technically have a debt-to-income ratio for you.
But when somebody applies for a mortgage, the lenders do check debt-to-income ratio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The lenders are going to, when you apply for a mortgage, first and foremost, look at your credit, because our rates and our payments are all based on that score. What we can offer, our programs, a lot is based on that credit score now, because like Pat said, they are analyzing risk. So we have to be very careful with that. And then we're going to look at what the total monthly debt is that a buyer has each month in comparison to what their income is. The banks are all at 40% is what we're looking at. When we do your income, we'll do 40% on an average, to figure out exactly what is left over. Then we subtract out your debt, Jackie, and what's left over is what you can technically afford in a mortgage payment. So that those payments each month have a direct effect on how much money I'd be able to lend to you for that actual next mortgage.
So if someone has heavy credit card debt, and they're obviously it's going to affect their debt to income ratio, you're looking at the amount that they have to pay each month.
Correct. We're looking at the amount. So some people will actually have a $2,000 credit card, but maybe they have a lot of experience with that card, so it's only a $25 payment. Some people have a $2,000 credit card, and it'll be a $250 a month payment. We're actually looking at the minimum monthly payments to put it into that ratio. So if you have a lot of car loans, student loans, revolving debt or credit cards, if there is a lot, if your overall outlook, another reason that's great to monitor your credit, is high in your minimum monthly payments, then a lot of times we'll try to advise our clients on different ideas on trying to get that number down, what that monthly means.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We're talking with Barb Moody, sales manager with Prospect Mortgage. What's your contact information, please?
Prospect Mortgage, we're over in Clark Summit, and our number is 570-587-3385. And please like us on Facebook at yourpamortgageteam.com.
Okay, so in essence with the credit, don't apply for any new credit when you're in the midst of a loan application. Is that something that you would advise?
Absolutely. Jackie, we actually at our office have devised a piece of paper that tells everybody the don'ts once you apply for a mortgage. Credit is huge. You don't want to have new inquiries because we now have to monitor the credit right until closing. That's new in the last few years. They used to just pull the initial credit report and then not pull another credit report. I guess they have found, you know, abuses. I always say, you know, it's funny because I always say Raymour & Flanigan or the furniture guy, the sale will be the next week. Do not fall for that. Do not apply for that. Because what happens?
That's right, $10,000 worth of new furniture.
Yeah,
let's screw everything
or
up.
Or appliances.
Or appliances.
Appliances, right?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it's time to go out and buy a nice new big truck to move all of this stuff around.
Uh-huh.
All of that. What people don't realize is that we pull credit again. We monitor it right up until the closing date. If it changes and we add that into your debt to income ratio that we were just talking about, meaning you've increased your debt, you now can't afford possibly, potentially, that mortgage payment that we've already pre-approved you for.
Pre-approved, but even after the mortgage commitment. If you're pulling
Correct.
Credit right up to the day of closing, even if someone has a mortgage commitment that they've signed, but then they go out and rack up all these huge bills, appliances, furniture, what have you, new car, that could, you've seen it, right? It's happened.
Right. Leave the yacht. I always say leave the yacht where it's at. we seriously have just a way of driving you crazy if there's even an inquiry. So if you've even pulled a credit score, if anybody's got your social security number pulled between the time that you've applied and closing, we are going to chase you down, get you on a phone call with the creditor. We're going to verify that no new payments have come up, that you don't owe them any money. It's just a very tough part of the transaction when you're getting ready for closing. And then if for any reason we do find any new debt, unfortunately, your loan has to go back to underwriting because your commitment letter has clearly stated that your credit, your employment, everything that we've looked at in the beginning that was on your application is going to be exactly the same until we get to closing, or we cannot guarantee the loan.
So don't even apply for a new credit card. Even if you're not going to make any purchases with that credit card, just don't open a new credit card.
No. I had a client, Jackie, actually open up a credit card for curtains at Walmart. And even though that did not affect our transaction because it was so minimal, we actually, the day before closing, had to find the client, get her on the phone with a third party, with the creditor, with Walmart. It's just a lot right before your closing to make sure that that payment was what we had in our application.
Thank you, Barb, for 2 weeks in a row of wonderful discussion this week regarding credit. We'd like to ask you back next week for some more discussion on financing and mortgages, please.
That's great. I'd love to come back.
Pat?
Okay, this is from the National Association of Realtors about for sale by owners, or as we call them, FSBO sellers. The share of home sellers who sold their home without the assistance of a real estate agent was 9%. And of that 9%, 40% knew the buyer prior to the home purchase. And then it says the main reason sellers chose to sell their home without the assistance of a realtor is that they did not want to pay a commission. A third of for sale by owners took no action to market their home. Now, this is the most important fact. Nationally, the for sale by owner home sold for $184,000 compared to $230,000 for those who used a realtor to assist them with their home sale. So that's a big difference.
Thank you, Pat. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Grady Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.